You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Gotta go, gotta see things, see new faces and brand new things, gotta go places and do things, maybe to forget it.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker of Predominantly Orange, your daily Broncos podcast.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast over here at the Locked On Podcast Network, bringing you your daily bite-sized Broncos news, analysis, and coverage within 30 minutes or less. Today's a big, big episode over here on the show. I'm your host, Cody Rourke. Very glad to be back with you guys once again. I'm an NFL analyst covering the National Football League and the Denver Broncos, as well as a columnist for the fan-sided networks, PredominantlyOrange.com. Today's episode is huge in a manner in which we ask Broncos country, what were some of the biggest lessons you learned from the 2018 season? What did it teach you? Broncos country responded, like always, with thoughtful, in-depth responses we're going to share, discuss, and analyze on today's episode of Locked On Broncos. Before I get into that, I'm joined by my co-host, Cameron Parker. Cameron, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, man. You know, it's just another day, another episode where we can talk about the Denver Broncos and just, try and just figure out this Denver Broncos puzzle. Where should they go from here? And oh, by the way, if you guys feel like you want to leave a review over at the Locked On Broncos podcast over on iTunes, please do so. Leave a whatever review that you would like. But I mean, you know, 5-star review is always so generous. And please leave your Twitter handle if you do have a Twitter, and both Cody and I will follow you.
Absolutely. Love the fans. Big, big week over here already at the Locked On Broncos podcast. We're not even 5 days into it. We're over 6,000 downloads in just 5 days. Huge, huge momentum. Like I said, the goal for February, 30K. Very doable. So Broncos country, like always, thank you guys for tuning in every single day, sharing the episode on Twitter, Facebook, wherever you post, wherever your family and friends that are Broncos fans, post it there. Spread the word about Locked On Broncos. Appreciate you guys. And if you're a new listener of the show, welcome to the Locked On Broncos podcast. Appreciate you guys. Hope we can keep you around. So let's not waste any time. Today's episode of the show is specific theme. What did we all learn from the 2018 season? What did the Broncos teach us? What did the NFL teach us? Broncos fans took some time to generate some very, very good responses. Can't wait to talk about it here. And let's get off through the first part of here. On Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL, the question was, what were some of the lessons that the 2018 season taught you? We got a lot of great content from Broncos country. So let's talk it off here with SMC Talk 5280 podcast, a Denver podcast going to be on that show here. Tonight, actually, going to be popping on to the SMC Talk 5280 podcast, supporting local Denver sports as well. Going to be awesome thing there. They responded that coaching is invaluable, as is a good run game. And the Broncos had a good run game, but the coaching part was a little bit off for the Broncos, Cam. And I think that was kind of the dual note of pretty much the 2018 season, is that the Broncos, Curtis Modkins and Zach Azani offensively, the offensive coaching staff did good in a lot of ways. Those guys are back. Really overall, I think a lot of it sparked with coaching from the head coaching, overall management type thing of the Broncos organization, the offseason, and just the whole thing on how everything went with the Broncos in 2018. The offseason now, obviously a lot of changes. Vic Fangio and company taking over the regime, Mike Munchak, O-line coach, just a lot of new coaches, new faces, experience all across the board. So coaching can prove to be very valuable, as we saw in Super Bowl 53. But Cali, Orange, and Blue, our boy Spy Boy, said you cannot survive on Band-Aid quarterbacks anymore. You need to find a franchise guy to keep for a decade plus. Cam, what are your thoughts on that, and especially with quarterback? We go back to when John Elway had mentioned with Case Keenum in terms of him being more of a short-term fix. Combined with that, the Band-Aid quarterback analogy, what are your thoughts?
I think, in touching a little bit even on the running back situation, I mean, just the fact that Vic Fangio and the creation of his staff for him to allow Modkins and Zach Azani to stay with him. And not only that, but he's had familiarity with Zach Azani on a previous coaching staff. That bodes well, because we've seen it with defensive coordinators over the years with the Denver Broncos. They have to have that camaraderie. They have to have that chemistry. So that's a huge part. Now, I think that with the whole quarterback situation, it really is a fascinating dynamic because, you know, Roto World put out this little source article, should I say, that said that Drew Lock will be selected by the Denver Broncos. And look, that's the thing that scares me. We were in January. Now we are into February. And that stuff has been leaking that, you know, Drew Lock is that potential guy, that potential target for John Elway. And that's possible. But I mean, now we're talking free agency with Kirk Cousins, but I mean, it was sort of that same scenario. I mean, Kirk Cousins was going to be that top target that the Denver Broncos were going to go after. And unfortunately, the Broncos did not go get Kirk Cousins or did not sign Kirk Cousins because they felt that the cheaper, more fiscally responsible route of Case Keenum was the route to go. Now, granted, you do have to draft your guy. And I'm not saying that the Denver Broncos are not interested in a guy like a Drew Lock or even, you know, going down that road again. But just the Broncos do have to avoid that Band-Aid quarterback again. And I think that if Drew Lock is that guy, then you have to do everything possible to ensure yourself that you're going to draft Drew Lock. What does that entail? I don't know. Does it mean moving up 3 or 4 or 5 spots in the draft to ensure that that is going to happen? Again, I don't know. But again, I agree with, you know, Cali Orange and Blue, and they do need to avoid this idea of Band-Aid quarterbacks over and over again, because much is the case in this day and age of the NFL, Cody, young quarterbacks have to play soon and often.
Yeah, they do. And I wouldn't look too much into that article that was posted at Roto World. Right now, the Broncos have no idea who they're going to pick. And granted, Drew Lock may not even be available at 10. So I wouldn't read too much into that article. The Broncos, before they even get to draft, they have their scouting personnel department looking into, okay, you know, who's on our board? Who's, you know, which is the guy that's going to be highest on our board? Obviously, some ties there to Drew Lock. But the Broncos are not completely yet set on drafting Drew Lock. Free agency is going to be a major determination in terms of what the Broncos decide to do in the NFL draft in April. So you have free agency in March, follow it up the next month, you have the NFL draft. So the Broncos, not yet decided on that. Don't look too much into that, Broncos country. For people I've talked to, they said it's all just speculation. Based on all the media hype surrounding John Elway and the Broncos' interest in Drew Lock, you know, he's high on their list, absolutely. But that decision has not yet been made. So we're going to move on here. We have High Plains Drifter said, coaching cannot be overrated. Goff was garbage under Fisher and a stud other than last night, which was the Super Bowl under Sean McVay. No reason why Keenum cannot excel with the proper coaching and game plan. Glad we have older, experienced coaches on board. The old guy won in Super Bowl 53, and I think that's a great point as well when we talk about coaching. As a High Plains Drifter, very, very big key point that you made there. Really, it's all about coaching, and can Case Keenum thrive under a Rich Scangarello and an experienced coaching staff with an offensive line and Mike Munchak? You know, the factor in if he can transform that offensive line, the Broncos offense can improve drastically, not only just in the run game, but in the passing game and in pass pro. Then you give Case Keenum an opportunity to make more plays, and maybe he can be the guy that the Broncos had originally brought him in from where he was at in Minnesota with, obviously, I think, a lesser line. You know, he did all that with a lesser line in Minnesota than he is with the Broncos. So I think a lot of it has to do with what is our quarterback good at? You know, and that's what Rich Scangarello had said in his press conference. We have to identify what our quarterback's really good at, and we have to build from there. And that's the approach that the coaching staff is taking. I like it. It's much different than what we witnessed in 2018. Mountaintop Scouting, he says, stagnant ideas amongst the coaching staff and front office can lead to a collective failure from an organization. Lacking adaptability and creativity can stifle the overall potential of a group. We talked about this. The Broncos overall, super talented in 2018. A lot of talent on paper. However, the wins just weren't, you know, the win-loss record doesn't indicate how talented the Broncos team actually really was. They have the pieces. They have the guys to be able to compete. And really, we saw in Super Bowl 53, you know, Julian Edelman, a guy that lined up predominantly in the slot. How do you stop a guy like that? You get a guy like Chris Harris Jr. on him playing press coverage. Those things, the Broncos had those type of guys to maybe do that against a Tyreek Hill type guy. They had success against Tyreek Hill when they played. The biggest thing, though, was can it translate into consistent success? It didn't happen in 2018 for the Broncos. Hopefully under an experienced coaching staff with position coaches that are going back to basics, it can be a focal point for the Broncos in 2019. But we're going to take a quick pause here. We're going to tell you guys about the Locked on NFL Net social media feed here on Instagram and Twitter. At Locked On NFL Net brings you the best coverage from every single Locked On NFL host and local expert in their market exclusively onto one single Twitter feed today. That's at Locked On NFL Net. As well as Instagram, you get the biggest stories around the National Football League at Locked On NFL Net on Instagram, and you get smaller cuts of that in your Instagram stories today. Be sure to follow on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On NFL Net. What did the 2018 season teach all of us? There's a lot of lessons. We go back from segment one, from coaching to experience to all these different variations here, and Broncos country absolutely nailed it in our thread today here at Cody Work NFL. What did we learn from 2018? And Chrissy Becks, the next one up here, says, this NFL season has taught me two things. One, I sadly won't see the Broncos in the postseason anytime soon. Now, Chrissy, that's the feel right now. I'm hoping that with these moves that the Broncos have made, what they do in free agency, I think getting a key inside linebacker, I think, you know, adding some depth to that offensive line, getting some other pieces around defensively, I think the Broncos can renovate at many positions. I think they can upgrade positions of need. I think they have to address certain positions, certain things, but you also have to factor in, can this coaching staff turn the corner? I think coaching and experience is a big, big thing, and I'm very optimistic, but yeah, I'm going to be cautious with that approach as well. So I completely understand that, Chrissy. Hopefully, we can see the Broncos back in the postseason in 2019. She said, number two, CJ Anderson does not tolerate social media fat-shaming him, but he himself will fat-shame women unless nude photos prove otherwise. 2018 did teach us a really, really odd lesson with that here. So thank you, Chrissy. And we're going to get on to Cross-Eyed Miles. He says, we need to majorly upgrade our O-line via draft free agency, then let coach make them superstars. You can't win in this league without a cohesive line. Cam, what are your thoughts on that? The Broncos O-line, a big priority for them is re-signing Matt Paradis. You have Jared Valdir. Not sure if the Broncos are going to re-sign him yet or not, but he actually didn't play bad for a right tackle. Granted, what the Broncos had at that position over the last course of the several years there, you know, Connor McGovern played really well. You know, Ron Leary coming off of an Achilles injury, and then Max Garcia and ACL, Garrett Bowles, inconsistent year, a much better year than most people anticipated. It gets lost amongst the criticism, but really when it comes to the Broncos offensive line in terms of upgrading, where are your thoughts?
I think for me, the only legitimate upgrade would be really re-signing Matt Paradis, because I felt that the Denver Broncos offensive line was actually not bad. I mean, all things considered, you know, if you guys look back to when Connor McGovern and filled in for Matt Paradis, and then when they did that whole shift of the offensive line, I believe it was before Max Garcia went down, if I'm not mistaken. And then Max Garcia went down, and then everything was just thrown into flux. Everything of that offensive line for the past few weeks of that, the depth was showing. I mean, there was, you know, they were showing this consistency, and that, you know, it truly was a next man up mentality with that offensive line. Everybody was playing at a high level, and that certainly was a breath of fresh air. Unfortunately, though, it reared its ugly head when the Denver Broncos needed it the most down the stretch. And so do they need to address some depth? Absolutely. But their biggest need, aside from maybe re-signing Chris Harris on the defensive side of the ball,
get him an extension.
It's giving Matt Paradis an extension as well. And so do I think that the offensive line is a priority? Absolutely. But again, maybe the greatest hire signing, what have you, that the Denver Broncos made maybe in the last 3 or 4 years was the hire of Mike Munchak. That's the point the Broncos fans need to certainly go to, is that a hire of Mike Munchak is one that really can make the team a complete team rather quickly, because of just how terrific he is as an offensive line coach.
He's very bright and he's very talented. A lot of coaches around the National Football League, some people I've talked to, have nothing but strong, strong praise for Mike Munchak. I mean, his resume speaks for itself. His experience is top notch in the National Football League. And, you know, I think also we're going to get to there too, because several people mentioned it. You know, experience is very, very valuable. Tim Wentz had responded to that tweet from Cross-Eyed Miles saying, "I'd say Denver is set at left tackle, center, and right guard. Need a better right tackle and a left guard, and they'll be great." I think that is very valid. I think right tackle, you got to find a little bit more consistency. Jared Verdier didn't play bad. You know, he was injured for a good part of the season. You have a left guard consideration as well with Ron Leary. He could be a cap casualty this offseason for the Broncos. You know, and also at the same time, too, you know, Max Garcia, unfortunately, coming off that ACL, there's some question marks there. I think the Broncos have to look at possibly finding a free agent veteran left guard to bring in. That might be the one move they have to do, because think about it. Ron Leary being an offensive lineman coming off an Achilles, that's tough. Max Garcia coming off an ACL, that's tough as well. So that's something we should all keep an eye on. But we're going to move forward to Mexican Bronco. Parentheses, I love tacos. He says, offense wins games, but defenses still win championships. We saw that from Super Bowl 53. The Patriots' defense played phenomenal. Now, some people are saying they played Canton, Ohio phenomenal. I don't think that's necessarily to an extent, because if that were the case, if they played Canton good, they would have scored defensive touchdowns. You know, the Broncos, they did that. The Broncos scored defensive touchdowns Super Bowl 50. So I still don't think the Patriots' defense this year even comes close to the Broncos' 2015 defense that we saw in the postseason. AM is a Rockies, Broncos, and Nuggets town. It says that the cost of Peyton Manning, what we learned in 2018, is that the cost of Peyton Manning is still being paid. And I think that has to do with not having that legitimate, bona fide coaching candidate. I mean, not coach candidate, but quarterback candidate that the, you know, NFL teams have Patrick Mahomes, you know, Chiefs have their guy. The Saints have Drew Brees. Patriots still have Tom Brady until he's 45 years old. The Broncos, after Peyton Manning, have been stuck in limbo. And that's been a huge thing that we're going to keep following as the Broncos look to hopefully right the ship. Hopefully Case Keenum can get things going in the year 2019. But before we get into the final part of our what we learned in 2018, I got to remind you guys to check out Adam Ades and Locked On Nuggets. Now, Adam and the Denver Stiffs crew will be doing their first ever live Locked On Nuggets podcast gathering for the All-Star Game. And a lot of awesome cool things down there. Head on over to at Locked On Nuggets and at Adam_Mades to get the details today on a live Denver Nuggets watch party, as well as a live Locked On Nuggets podcast. So Denver Nuggets fans, get on out there, support Adam Mades and Locked On Nuggets, good friends of the show. All right, we're going to open up here our final segment of what we learned from 2018 in Broncos country. Our good friend, Bronco Becca, Rebecca Jones, thank you always supporting, always retweeting the show, always interacting with us. Hashtag one word, coaching is everything. That was simple. And then you had a guy by the name of Cameron Parker, whoever that guy is, saying that it is true. Cody is the best coach on the planet to get me to watch the John Wick movies. Now, if you haven't done that, Cameron, you know, you might be fired. You might be fired if you haven't watched the John Wick movies yet. So you better get on that. Tim Wentz, you know, the thing is too, and we talk about coaching because Becca mentioned it with coaching. Tim Wentz also mentioned that coaching matters. Absolutely. We saw that. That matters big time in the National Football League. And Thomas Hall, NFL, says having talent is good, but a great coach is better. Man, we got some good coaching ones here. Cole Phillip, real Cole Phillip, says you don't need the next McVay to win the Super Bowl. I think that was a very valuable lesson, Cam, and I think we learned that on Sunday. You know, everybody's talking about this whole offseason. When the Broncos fired Vance Joseph, the whole talk around town was you need to find the next Sean McVay. The NFL, and no offense to fans, but the NFL and fans and even analysts sometimes get so caught up in the hype of recency bias that it really clouds judgment on what really matters. We saw in Super Bowl 53, experience can definitely overcome youth. And that's what Bill Belichick did to Sean McVay. So I like that, Cole. Cole, that might be the most deepest one we have today. You don't need the next McVay to win the Super Bowl. Absolutely. You need the next Fangio.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. And I think that, you know, one of the more impressive, and I actually – it was actually when the Cincinnati Bengals announced their hire of Zach Taylor that it just, you know, it dawned on me. And this is, and so I think we are coming to a consensus that coaching really is the key. And it's been a driving theme for you and I, obviously, when we've been doing post-game reports, and just at least it seemed that way. Now, I think that the one thing that really kind of stuck with me is we need to commend John Elway on this. Because if you look at the interview process, he interviewed Vance Joseph and Dave Tobe and Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan went on to be the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers. Vance Joseph became the head coach of the Denver Broncos. Dave Tobe stayed with the Kansas City Chiefs at the special teams. Look at it now this year. He brought in Mike Munchak for the interview to be the head coach. He interviewed Chuck Pagano to be the head coach. He interviewed Brian Flores to be the head coach. He interviewed Zach Taylor to be the head coach. Zach Taylor is now the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals. Brian Flores is now the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. Mike Munchak is the offensive line coach for the Denver Broncos, and Vic Fangio is the head coach of the Denver Broncos, and Chuck Pagano replaced Vic Fangio in Chicago. So Elway deserves a lot of credit for the way that he went out and did his homework and chose these types of candidates for the Denver Broncos, because they weren't just the best candidates for the Denver Broncos. They also were the best candidates for these other positions that needed to be filled. So for that, we do have to commend John Elway for the fact that he did a lot of homework in searching for these candidates. And again, he didn't look for the next Sean McVay. Yes, that is the driving narrative with the head coaching candidate. But again, he hired the best possible candidate for this job, and it was Vic Fangio and a plus one of Mike Munchak, which is, you want to talk about a home run or, you know, a knock it out of the park type deal. I mean, that doesn't really get any better than that, because it's rare.
Yeah, it's really rare. You don't really see that often with NFL teams. And you know, I think the Broncos, here's the thing with John Elway. People say I'm just too much of a John Elway praiser. I'm critical of John Elway when it's right. You know, I'm not going to criticize a guy. Look, I have a degree in sports management. I have a master's degree as well in coaching and sports management administration of athletics and other things like that. I understand the process behind all these moves that you have to make as a general manager. Okay, I've done my due time with that. I've done my long studies of that. I've done my experience. I've done internships. I get it. That's why I'm not as critical about John Elway, because I understand there is a process. Now, rightfully so, when it's time for John Elway to be criticized, you know, not to be openly criticized or degraded, absolutely not. I think everybody gets criticism. I get criticism. I mean, I get criticized by fans that listen to the show as well. That's okay. That's all a part, you know, of the job. We all accept that. So with a big job with big responsibilities comes criticism. John Elway, you know, one thing is, despite the criticism he's faced, the biggest one has to be, you know, quarterback. The Broncos haven't had a quarterback since Peyton Manning. That's been a huge issue. I think he's working on it. I think the moves he's made in the coaching staff to try to evolve Case Keenum a little bit and bring in a young quarterback in the draft this year, if they decide to go quarterback with the 10th pick or even move up, that tells me that he's trying to learn from the mistakes that he's made in the past. And a lot of that is 2015, after Gary Kubiak stepped down. It was more of a desperate hire of Vance Joseph than anything, and rather than taking the time doing due process. This year, it was calculated. It was a consensus. It was a team effort by him, Patrick Smith, as well as Joe Ellis and Matt Russell. It was a consensus that, okay, we have to be on the same page. This has to be the right move for us. And so far right now for the Broncos, it looks that way. So it sounds as if John Elway is correcting some of those mistakes that he made early on. Our good friends D-Line Co. said, quarterback is an important position. Absolutely. We've seen that. I mean, that was a difference maker in the Super Bowl as well. Mile High Saluter could have just as easily missed the playoffs two straight seasons playing their first round pick at quarterback. Yeah, but the Paxton Lynch thing didn't really work out. New Type underscore JK47, organizational dysfunction leading to a 2 years of a seventh rounder starting, a lame duck head coach way over his head, and lack of adaptation to the point where it has led us to this point. Mistakes were made and we are learning to correct them. We are building a process for the future of this team. I absolutely like that. That's very good, New Type. Appreciate that. Brian S. 1903. Still hate the Patriots. That's something that we all learned in 2018. Charlie says defense still wins championships. And then we have Green Lantern 06 saying John Elway appears to have been humbled. The franchise is officially about to turn around. Kirk Cousins stole Minnesota's money. We got Vance Joseph was a joke. Don't overspend on quarterbacks and never ever get a retread quarterback. And you need a coach that can motivate you and start fast. And then we have one from a Saints fan saying the refs are Sandy B fans. Sandra Bullock, obviously, with a Bird Box gif that we're seeing there as well with a blindfold on. So that was a rough, rough thing for Saints fans. Obviously, some sympathy there, but I want to thank Broncos Country once again for providing us with some great insight for the lessons that we have learned from the 2018 NFL season. It was a rough one for Broncos Country as we all look for 2019 for the Broncos to get back on track. Stay tuned over here at the Locked On Broncos podcast for all NFL free agency coverage. The NFL free agency frenzy is approaching us here in several weeks. We got you covered on that, as well as the NFL draft, minicamp, OTAs, and we'll be there on the sideline at training camp, giving you all the best Broncos coverage you possibly can with a great, great group of people around the Broncos media community. Very excited about that coming up here in training camp. As always, want to thank you guys for tuning into the show. Be sure to follow Cameron on Twitter at CameronParkerPL. Follow me on Twitter at CodyRourkeNFL. Follow the show at LockedOnBroncos. Don't forget to leave a review of the show. Leave your Twitter handle. You'll be entered into February's Locked On Broncos contest giveaway, which we're going to announce on Valentine's Day because you guys are our Valentine. So appreciate you guys, Broncos Country, for tuning in once again. Cameron and I, we will see you tomorrow for another episode of the show.